Time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
So take it easy, will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawrence.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Well, I'll tell you, every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. Ron Wotus, the professor, joins us. Well, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Marty. Good morning to you.
Yeah, how are you? I see you sitting down in the bullpen. You look good down there.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, usually at the at AT&T watching the vegetables come in. I'm watching the groundskeepers work here. They do a great job. So always nice to be in the Coliseum, whether it's here or in Rome.
I think last night you would have preferred Rome, but what a crazy game! What about the crowd last night? Wasn't that something?
Yeah, it was great. They announced over the PA here that it was the largest crowd in Major League Baseball this season.
Yes.
That surprised me a little bit. I thought Dodger Stadium held above 56,000, but I guess it does not. But great crowd, great energy. John Miller had a tremendous call last night. I listened to it right at home. I was at put the radio on. And when we tied the game in the ninth, he said the Giants fan overtake the Coliseum. I mean, it was great energy. I thought it was a great line. So, tremendous crowd.
Yeah, it was good. All right. Well, I'm glad to have you on. So many things happened last night in the game. And, doing the show for me last night, you try to recount everything. And there's so much went on. But I want to talk about Crawford. And I said it on Twitter last night. And, you know, when you need a double play, if the ball's hit to him, you don't even have to say anymore. He just gets it done. But he made a double play with Hanson that Maranta threw that ball in the ninth inning. And this is one for the professor to explain, because the winning run's on third. You're turning it second to first as opposed to going home. Well, what happened in that play? I thought it was a tremendous play.
Well, in that scenario, you know, you have two options. I mean, if you don't turn the double play, the game's over. So you have the option. A lot of teams will play the infield all the way in, and you're going to go home to first. What we play is called a three depth. It's in between all the way in and double play depth. So you're in a position to do both. If the ball's hit slow, you can come get it if you're athletic enough and throw the guy out at home plate. And if it's hit firm where you got a chance for a double play, you turn the double play. Now, the only issue with it is you got to be 100% sure that you can turn a double play. If Simeon was the runner, he's a fast runner, but the ball was hit firm. You know, Crawford knew if we had a clean throw to second and a good turn that we'd turn it. So they opted for the double play, which is great because if you go home on that play, now you only have the second out. So it's a risky play in the fact if you don't turn the double play, the game is over. But we felt they were in the right position with their athleticism in the middle. They could do both. They could come home on a slower hit ball and turn the double play if the ball takes them there.
Well, great play. Really a great play. And Maranta couldn't be any better. How about Maranta? Again, a play that sort of gets overlooked. I mean, Sandoval came in on that sacrifice bunt. Maranta was kind of getting in his way. Not sure what happened there. But Sandoval made a heck of a play to throw out the runner on the sacrifice bunt that preceded all that.
Yeah, you know, they don't sacrifice a whole lot. I think they had three sacrifices all season up until that point. They chose to do it. So with a position player up, it's sometimes difficult to run a bunt play and try to get the lead guy. But, you know, Maranta is not an easy guy to bunt. I got to give Pinder some credit. He first bunt attempt, he put it foul. He made a heck of a bunt in that situation off a guy that's throwing 95. And as you said, Dan, the ball came in. He was in position to field the bunt and get the runner out at first base. So, the walk and it set up the double play. So it was a big inning for us to keep the game going. Obviously, we were able to tie it after that, but was not able to come home with the W.
No, but a lot of baseball last night. And, you know, as I say, you got to survive July. And this team showed a lot of grit last night, I thought, in coming back. And there were so many parts of it. The other part with Hanson on some of the pop-ups, and I realize you've always told me it's tough to teach defense in the major leagues, but a couple of the balls were hit the right field. And what was your take on Hanson and McCutchen and where those balls landed tailing away from him? What went on there?
Well, you know, it can be a difficult play for an infielder. And the number one thing is You know, you saw a guy last night in Brandon Crawford when the ball went up. He's like Sean Dunston, you know, and the fact that Sean Dunston was one of the best, when that ball went up in the air, he wanted to catch it. And that's one thing that we always talk to these guys about. It's like Brandon Crawford. He's a Gold Glover. When that ball goes up, he's not hoping to catch it. He's expecting and wanting to catch it. And he takes off for the ball, wanting to make the play. You know, sometimes when the ball's in between, infielders go back hoping the outfielder catches it, and their heart's not quite in it. You know, the second one that fell in, I'm not quite sure if McCutchen could have got there or not. You know, Hanson maybe with a better break and a little more speed going for it, but his route was not very efficient, and he wasn't able to come up with the play, and that's probably something that we need to work on a little bit, especially at our park with the wind and all that. It's not an easy play, but with his speed, it's a play that you hope that he can get to the ball and make after we saw Crawford do what he did on two balls.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the ball was tailing away. I had a good angle on it, too, and there was some wind, and the ball was tailing away from him. But you're right. It's a play that you like to see a second baseman make on that play. How about the play that Crawford made down the line? And then you've seen this guy. He's a Gold Glover. You know, you should have part of that Gold Glove yourself for working with him for so many years. But how about the catches he made, the pop-ups that he caught last night?
You know, I mean, what can you say? You're speechless. When the ball was hit off the bat, you know, you're not used to so much foul territory. We know we have it here, but you think, oh, that ball's out of play. And then here comes Crawford out of nowhere. And again, he expects to make the play. I mean, he's not going over there hoping to make it. He wants to make it, and he made a tremendous play dealing with the mound. And, you know, the ball comes back. You always deal with that. But a lot of foul territory went a long way for that ball, and that makes it tougher, especially when you're dealing with the mound and the stands in that area.
Yeah, it was great. It was a football play. I mean, honestly. And, you know, it looked like a play that, you know, he looked like a wide receiver. And there was no question he was going to get it. It was great. And I thought Mark Belanger was the best I ever saw. He went back on the ball. You know, he went back on the ball. It was like he was walking, and he was going backwards all the time. But this guy is right there. And Chavez was pretty good, too, going down the foul territory here, too. Who's the best you ever saw going back on pop-ups, if you think about infielders?
Well, you know, it's hard to say off the top of my head. You know, certain guys stand out. Like I said, Sean Dunston was one that, you know, he went like he'd take everybody's ball. He'd take the left fielder's ball. He'd take the third baseman's ball. He'd take them from the catcher. He'd take them from everybody. But he was always very good at it. You know, Crawford's very good, too. And one guy comes to mind is, you know, he had the style and the flair, another Gold Glover. That was here for a short time. He's managing down an A-ball at this point in time. It's Omar Vizquel. Mm-hmm. You know, Omar would go after a ball, and he'd flip that hat off, and he'd run, you know, straight out to the outfield, and he'd catch it basket style over his head, looking straight back, and that's why he knocked the hat off, so he could see the ball coming over the top of his head. If his hat stays on, right, he doesn't have that full vision, and he'd catch a Willie Mays basket catch. He was very good at going and get pop-ups. And the thing about Omar is he did it so nonchalant, you know, it looked like he didn't care if he caught it or not. That's how good he was.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he should get more Hall of Fame support. I don't know why people statistically or whatever, you know, the propeller heads have sort of gotten off his case a little bit. But he's, in my opinion, a Hall of Famer, and that's Omar Vizquel. Hey, well, let's talk about – go ahead.
I was just going to say it is a crying shame because, you know, everything's about hitting in the game today. And what this guy did defensively, more innings or starts or I think it was innings, right, than any other shortstop in Major League Baseball, the Gold Gloves. What he did on the defensive side of the game, you know, it's like Ozzie Smith. You can say there's not many players that impacted the game like that. And we're not going to make this a Hall of Famer because of offensive statistics. I just don't understand it. There's more to the game than hitting.
Yeah, well, Eddie Montague says Crawford's the best he's seen since Ozzie Smith. And Vizquel is right up there. Vizquel was no slouch at the plate either. He had like 2,600 hits. You know, he had a lot
of
hits.
Right.
I agree with you on that. And that's the Giants should get behind Vizquel a little bit more in the Hall of Fame stuff. All right, let's talk about the play of the night, which, you know, God, you've watched baseball your whole life and played it on a professional level in the big leagues. I've watched it. But last night, you think you're done. And you get Hanson up there, and it's two strikes, and Fegley gets a ball in the dirt. He can't get it, and Hanson takes off. And what do you think at that point?
Well, you think that's your opening. You know, you think this is your chance because the strikeout, he gets to first base. Now you have speed on base. And their closer can get a little bit slow. So, you know, they have the opportunity to run him and then score on a base hit. And, well, we never got to that because the first pitch, you know, Hunter Pence hits the bullet down the line. And then, you know, obviously Hanson scores on the play. But, you know, those little things like that in games are not little, you know. So he gets on base with a strikeout and you think this guy's going to score right here and now.
Yeah, it was great. And, you know, I love the history of the game. And there was a famous play in 1941 World Series. Mickey Owen was the catcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was game four of the World Series. The Dodgers had the lead in the ninth inning. Two out, Tommy Henrich up, and Hugh Casey was pitching, probably threw a spitball. And Henrich swung and missed, and Owen missed the ball. And Henrich got on, and 5 runs later, the Yankees won the game, took a 3-1 lead in the series, and won the series. And for all my whole life, whenever a ball is missed by a catcher, the name of Mickey Owen comes up, and I thought of it last night.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, as I was saying, there's so many other things to this game than hitting. We always point to the offense at the end of the game. Oh, we're not hitting, we're not hitting. Well, you know, plays have to be made. You know, there's base-running plays where a guy can take an extra base, a ball in a dirt, a guy steals a base. There's so many other facets that can win you a game, especially in a close game. If you go back to the 14 World Series run, you know, we talked about all the RTIs, run thrown in, right, that we had. I think we had 11 or 12 in the playoffs through that whole stretch run. Excuse me, that was 12. You know, the bunt by Blanco and was it Randy Choate throws it away. And, you know, Matt Duffy scoring from second on a pass ball, things of that nature. So these things loom large in a baseball game, and to be able to tie in the ninth, that was a big part of it.
That was great. All right, so let's go to the big play. This one was, look, we love Twitter. You're now a Twitter fan. You're on it, R. Wotus. You should be following well on Twitter. But Twitter went nuts last night because of the chair gate. And here's the ball.
The chair gate.
It was great. Well, you got to go on Twitter and look at the GIFs that they put on these little videos. But they've got wrestlers hitting each other over the head with chairs, and they've got all sorts of stuff. Really, it was hysterical. Nice. So the ball – now, Olson – now, he doesn't move his feet. It goes off his glove, so I'm not sure if he played it correctly. But the ball takes a shot right down into that bullpen. And where you're sitting right now is about where it was. There are only a couple of ballparks that have this still on the you know, within the diamond. And
right.
There's the ball goes down there, and now people scatter like bowling pins. You know, and Melanson picks up the chair. Piscotty runs into the chair, and all hell breaks loose. And you're coaching third. You're the guy. Everybody's looking. 56,000. Where's Hanson going? What was going on?
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. Anytime you have the bullpens on the field, you know, you get the crazy stuff. You know, the ball goes in the bullpen. Guys got to get out of the way. But as far as the play with him scoring, you know, he's coming around. I know he's going to get to third. And you know, I got to give Hanson a lot of credit here again because I know he's going to get to third. Now Biscotti comes over here. I didn't know he was going to have a little trouble getting to the ball, but he got to the ball in plenty of time. And what Hanson did, just like the play in Chicago, he made a good turn. I'm halfway down the line near home plate. I want him to keep coming. And at this point, Biscotti had the ball, and he's got the best, most accurate arm for the A's. And if he makes just an average throw for him, he's out. But fortunately for us, in his scurry to get to the ball, I thought he rushed the throw a little bit. He throws it wide. And at that point with Hanson, I just want him to pick up the ball because when you make a turn and the ball's in right field, you can come halfway down the line and see the throw and decide whether you can score or stop. And to his credit, he came down the line. He saw the terrible throw offline, and he continued, and he scored. So good heads-up play with him, but again, it's making the turn and going as far as you can until you have to stop.
Yeah, it was great. You're down in Flan territory. You're getting ready to slide into the plate with him. You know that.
Well, I was there. I didn't continue with him, but one of these days we'll do that in honor of Flan. Maybe I'll slide into home plate behind the runner.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you're getting down there. I mean, you were not that far from, you were about halfway between the coach's box and home plate, and I could see you looking, and I could see him looking. And he's one of those runners, well, that this, you know, you got certain runners in the league, maybe Billy Hamilton's another one. This guy's instincts, they may not be the perfect fine-tuned instincts, but when he starts rolling, he's rolling, I'll tell you that. He's tough to stop.
Well, he is, and he made a good read, you know, because, as I said, if Piscotty makes his normal throw, he's out at the plate. And I actually had a hand up. I wanted him to pick up the ball to make that decision because at this point, the play's to my back. You know, where the runner was at, Piscotty got to the ball. I didn't think he was going to have a chance to score, but he made the big turn and read the throw, and it was a bad throw. Now, if the ball's on the left field side, but you can't bring the runner around third like that because, you know, they could throw behind him and pick him off. But when the ball's on the right field line, you can come way down there, and he did a nice job on that play, and we were able to tie the game.
Now, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. So if it's on the left field side, they can throw behind him.
Well, yeah, you can't bring the guy around halfway, you know, to home plate because, you know, the third baseman cuts it and flips it to the shortstop. The same thing in center field. So, you know, it's kind of like a play where there's a runner on first and the ball's hit down the left field line. And, you know, the runner deciding whether he goes first or not. It's in the runner's hands more than it's in the coach's hands because he's got the play right in front of him. He's got his momentum. He sees the outfielder. He knows where he's at. And he has to make that read because it's more instinctive for the player than it is for the coach on that play. Now, when the ball's behind him, it's a different story. So once he makes that big turn, he sees the play, he sees the throw, and then he continued on because the throw was well offline and was not a good throw.
Well, a memorable moment, I will tell you that. And the chair will live forever. Someone said they should have picked the chair as the most valuable player last night. I thought that was
I heard that. I'm looking at the chair right now, Marty, as we speak. It's still out here. So, you know, it was incidental contact. I was a little bit concerned, you know, now that they go to New York on a replay, asking them their opinion, and they're not here in the moment, you know, you get a little concerned that they're going to overturn this thing. But what I saw on the big board during the game, it's incidental. He was trying to get out of the way. Nothing was intentional, so the play has to stand. I mean, we have bullpens on the field. That's the way it is.
Wow, great. Boy, great. I'm so glad you're on this morning to explain that because that was one of the great plays of the year. Well, this second half is underway. The division is still one of those, you know, you're so much in it. But each game now becomes a little bit more important, don't they? You know, this is one you would have liked to win last night, and today's another one. You got to start putting the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and grinding even more.
No question. I mean, you know, the trading deadline's around the corner. You want to be in position to add and to make a push at this thing. You certainly don't want to fall too far back now where the organization thinks, you know, who are we? Are we going to be able to get this done? So every game is extremely important, and that's the fun part of the season. It's now. You know, we don't have a lot of games left. And everyone is a playoff-type game for us if you want to get where you're going, especially that we have three teams we have to climb over. So we do have to put the pedal to the metal. We have to show up every day and play nine innings every night.
Yeah, you got to win games, like I like to say. There are no more moral victories. The tryouts are over. Yeah, you actually have to win games. One last thought for you. Bumgarner had one of the most unusual games of his career last night. What did you see from the dugout?
Well, you know, I saw a guy that just struggled to throw a strike, and it's very uncharacteristic of Matt Bum. We really haven't seen him lose it to that degree, but, you know, who he is, he was going to get every opportunity to right the ship because you didn't expect him to keep having trouble with his command. So it happens, you know, and it's a testament to how good he is. That really, we've never seen that from him before. And sometimes pitchers just lose it, and they can't regain it. And, you know, that's what happened to him last night. So we were fortunate. Dyson came in, did an outstanding job to keep that inning to a three-run inning because it could have been disastrous and gave us a chance to come back and tie the game.
Well, I love it. And how about Maranta? Come on, well, look at this guy.
Yeah, well, he's a guy we saw last year a little bit, and we know he has a power arm. He's got that slider, and you know, a lot of people think he's got closer stuff, and he's a big addition for us. It's nice to have a guy like him, just like the A's. You know, the back end of their bullpen, when they get a lead, and that's why they are where they are. They expect to win those games with those power arms. Yeah. You talk about the safety squeeze on Gorky. You know, Trevino, he's a tough guy to put the ball in play. And, you know, we got a guy at third base there with less than two outs. You know, if you don't have great stuff, it's easier to put the ball in play and tie that game. But Maranta's got strikeout stuff. So he comes in these big situations. It's like having a closer, you know, close the inning down there to keep the game close. So you need power stuff in your bullpen, and he's one of the guys that can do it for us.
Boy, great. Boy, I love having you on. Well, thanks for taking the time this morning. It's really baseball, and the professor hit it hard today. This was something last night. So another one today with Manaea and Cueto. We'll see what happens. But this is a good time of year for baseball. Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun?
Oh, yeah. This is what you look for. You start out in spring training, and you play all these games. And as you said, it's time to put the pedal to the metal, and every game is just so important. So this game's important, too, for the trophy, right, Marty?
You win today.
What happens? They split it down the middle, or how do they decide to?
No, you win today, you get it. Whoever wins today's game gets it.
Well, so, very good. There you go. Okay.
So take a chance late in the game. You want to win this trophy.
That's right. We're after the trophy and after a win. That's what we want to do. We want to win every day, Marty, every
day.
Yeah,
and you want to present it to you after the game. You want to come out and get it on a great play. You want to win this thing and go right to the trophy.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks so much as always. We'll see you later. All right. Well, thank you.